Welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by SBK. And he's at it again. Mr. Palmer joins us. Another winner, a big price winner this time as well, the burger.
Good morning, Dave. Yes, we love the burger. It was a real roller coaster of a weekend. The Saturday was one of the worst days of my life. Weymouth FC got relegated again. Oh, no. Weymouth FC were in the National League in 2022. We're three divisions lower now. So, Saturday was a disaster, but Sunday, Bernd Wiesberger made sure Sunday was a million times better than Saturday.
Okay, well, I'll always say to you, keep your pecker up, Steve. Weymouth have tried to bring it down, but you've banged in another winner. The YouTube comments came alive as well, which is always wonderful to see.
Yeah. The Sweet Spot community, absolutely thriving. And we're going into the summer with our tails up.
We are indeed. We're, of course, here back with our friends at SBK. Jump onto their website, betsbk.co.uk. They've got weekly boosts for you. They'll be boosting one of the tournaments as well. Always a nice little added Brucey bonus on top if you can find the winner. We'll get onto that, but they do have a new customer offer for you. Get £60 in free bets when you place your first £20 bet. The referred customer must bet £20 to get £20 in free bets. In addition to the welcome offer of £40. You get two free £10 golf bets, which will be credited after the qualifying bet settles. Terms and conditions apply as ever. Jump on the website for all the information. But they're giving you free golf bets. What more do you need? You can follow in the great man, Mr. Palmer, and get free bets along the way. So terms and conditions apply. Gamble aware, of course, 18 plus. All the information is on the SBK website. Right, I think we could just jump straight in to the review, Steve. We will start with the China Open, where he was able to find the winner, 74-1, 19 under par. Otegi, the runner-up, Lindbergh, Norris up there. What did you make of it all?
Yeah, Bernd Wiesberger, now a 9-time DP World Tour champion. Two of those wins have come in China. Very early start for the Wiesberger fans on Sunday morning. I woke up so groggy and demoralised. I really needed Bernd to raise my spirits. And early on, it did not look good, Dave. I don't know, did you tune in on Sunday morning, or were you too hungover?
When I text you the simple emoji of a burger was when I was aware of what was going on.
Oh, that was about 3 p.m. that you got up. Yeah. Well, Otegi stretched his lead. So Adrian Otegi starts with a one-shot lead, and then he stretches his lead early on. So I'm thinking, blimey, maybe I should go back to sleep. Midway through the front nine, Otegi hits this wild drive into the trees. So you think, oh, this is the turning point. They cut to the ad break. Everyone assumes that he's in big trouble. So then the next shot is they cut to Adrian Otegi in a fairway. He's not in the right fairway. He's in another fairway. He's got a lovely angle in. So it's come off the big fella. He's got a big red mark. So I thought, right, everything's going wrong. It's time to give up on this one. But the 10th hole changed everything. And the 10th hole, I'd say, was the highlight of my year so far. Because Tommy Tiger had just come into the bedroom, Dave. My darling wife is flitting in and out of the bedroom as well. And it's a lovely sunny Sunday morning. I don't want to start the day bringing everyone down by being downbeat, Dave. You know what it is. So I try to instill a bit of manic positivity into proceedings, to lift the mood, because it's not fair on others. So on the 10th hole, I said to Tommy Tiger, I said, come and watch this, Tommy. Come and watch this. He's going to chip this in. Bernd Wiesberger, that's our man. Obviously, I had no idea whether he was going to chip in, but I was just trying to be upbeat. And then when he chipped it in, he chipped in for birdie, Dave, in case you haven't seen it. He chipped in for birdie.
Oh, yeah, I've seen all the highlights.
You've seen the highlights. So he chipped in for birdie at the 10th, and Tommy Tiger goes absolutely bananas. He thinks I'm a soothsayer.
I need to know what your reaction was. You were lying up in bed. Are we getting excited? What's going on?
I say we both went absolutely bananas. You know, he just jumps in my arms. He thinks I've got this scary ability to see the future now. I must explain to him when he's a bit older that I just was just trying to be positive. I had no idea he was going to get that in. But it was absolutely pivotal that moment, Dave, because suddenly Adrian Otegi had some pressure on him. He was cruising away, and then the pressure on the otter. We used to call him the otter when Bruce was the presenter, the otter. The pressure was really intense on the otter from there, and he buckled under the pressure. I mean, we must make the point, Dave. This is the slowest player in the history of golf. Adrian Otegi, you're lucky you didn't watch it, because it was painful viewing. He makes Patrick.
He's not a player that I'd be looking to watch. I mean, if he ever got paired up with Keegan Bradley, I'd throw the telly out the window.
Well, this is it. He makes Keegan Bradley look like Usain Bolt. He's just, it was so infuriating watching Adrian Ntegi play golf. And yes, it'd be so infuriating for Bernd Wiesberger if you didn't have a betting interest in the tournament. You just would not be watching. But the pressure told on the Otter. Yeah, it's almost like a karma. You know, do you believe in karma, Dave? I felt.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. And it felt like the karma was coming good here because Ntegi was being off put into Wiesberger, being off put into the Sky Sports viewers. I mean, yeah, he just shouldn't be playing that slowly. And then the pressure just cranked up on him. And then, yeah, by the final hole, I mean, Ntegi could have been up on manslaughter charges for what happened on the final hole. I mean, you might not have seen that on the highlights, but he's hit a wild drive right. He's hacking his way out the hole, but in two shots, it's a par five. After two shots, he's in such a pickle. He's in such a horrible position. He needs a birdie. The only way he can get close to the hole is by hitting it off the grandstand by the green and hoping he gets a good deflection off the grandstand close to the hole. So, you know, this is reckless. This is cheating. I mean, don't you think, Dave? I mean, I thought it was absolutely outrageous. It's clearly...
By any means necessary. Listen, if he was carrying my money, I'd be like, you do what you got to do, my man.
Well, you would not want him to murder a Chinese child, or any child for that matter, in the process, would you, Dave? I thought karma played out, Dave. You know, it was good against evil. I thought karma played out, Dave. You know, it was good against evil in the end. and good one. And thank the Lord for Bernd Wiesberger.
Okay, lovely winner that you rejoiced about, I'm sure, at home with your family all around you, which is wonderful, wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
Any other takeaways? Who else caught the eye for you in the China Open?
Well, you say about the celebrations, we did go out to the pub in the evening and had cheeseburgers. I suggested we take him to the chef and say, can we have him well done? But you can't really ask for a well done cheeseburger. Burnt cheeseburger. So joyous day. Adrian Ntegi, just sort yourself out, mate. Speed up and bear in mind this is a fella that turned his back on Spain. You know, he's born a Spaniard, he's been a Spaniard his whole life. He wants to get in the Olympics and he wants to ingratiate himself with where he lives in the UAE. So he changed his nationality from Spanish to UAE. And there was a really funny moment on the final hole when he's in that pickle. John Morgan, one of the great characters on the Sky Sports team, he goes, oh, he's going to need all his Spanish hands here. He's going to need all his Spanish hands to pull a miracle shot out here. And, he obviously hasn't got Spanish hands anymore. He's got magic UAE hands. I dislike Adrian Ntegi's style of play.
It's always nice to hear when good conquers evil, right? So you're happy.
That's it. Good has conquered evil. We move on. I mean, Angel Ayora, we must address the fact that he was disappointing. The Sunday, I thought we were going to get a place from Angel Ayora through three rounds, but his Sunday was so disappointing. You know, birdie three on the front nine, close with, he's three over par, 74 on Sunday. So the wait for a maiden title goes on. He did better than Daniel Hillier, though. I noticed one of the commentators went for Hillier to miss the cut, and that came in. Daniel Hillier, the favourite. You know, he just edged Ayora for favouritism. He missed the cut by a shot, so that was a good one.
I thought we were going to be in the running with Wen Yiding as well, early doors as well, was up there.
Yeah, Wen Yiding didn't do a lot wrong. He finished 25th. He's playing again this week. I mean, Yan Hanzhao was very interesting, wasn't he, Dave? I was pretty disturbed by his opening 62. Remember, he was the last name off the shortlist. He was out the gates with a 62, 69 in round two, but then 78 on Saturday, 75 on Sunday. He tied 52nd in the end. So, you know, a raw talent, a teenager, clearly got plenty of ability, but you've got to give him a bit more time. He found it too much at the weekend.
Right, shall we move on?
Yes, sir.
Right, then from the rejoice in the Palmer family to rejoice in the Fitzpatrick family. This was an incredible end, remarkable bunker shot. But the Fitzpatrick brothers did score, of course, in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, which has meant that brother Alex Fitzpatrick has secured his tour card. Wright and Ventura, Smalley Springer, Crowe Martin, Ollison, Neergaard Peterson showing up well as well. But the winners at 31 under par with the Fitzpatrick brothers, who just produced incredible golf throughout the week.
Yeah, it was delightful to see, wasn't it? I think this tournament, quite comforting to me because it sort of proved that I still have a soul.
Hold on. I think we just need to pump the brakes a minute, and you might, in fact, owe an apology to Matt Fitzpatrick because you basically suggested last week that he didn't care for his brother and he needed, you know, all this persuasion to play. And he's turned up and put his arm around his brother and said, "I'll get you a tour card, mate," and off we go.
Yeah, he needed persuasion to play, but obviously when he's there, he's going to fully commit. And, delightful scenes. I mean, I'm really encouraged because I was so pleased that they won. And, as a punter and a tipster, all I focus on is the betting. And I make no bones about that. I've got no shame in that.
That's what we're here for, mate.
That's what we're here for. That's what we're paid to do. So I don't let any other factors come into my head. But once my Austin Eckroat and Davis Thompson had blown their title-winning chances.
And by the way, they looked all over the winners at one point.
Yeah, they had a really bad finish, unfortunately, the last five holes. But once they were out of it, then I was fully behind the Fitzpatricks. And it did feel good to actually be pleased and had a smile on my face for a team that I hadn't even backed. And as I say, it reminded me that I am a human being as well as a punter. So pleased for Alex in particular, because, yeah, it meant so much to him to get that PGA Tour card. And, you know, Matt's getting all the plaudits for that shot at the final hole. Yeah, yeah, the bunker shot was fantastic. But on the back nine, down the stretch, it was Alex that kept the team together. You know, Matt lost his swing. Matt lost his swing, lost his way. And that flop shot, did you see the flop shot from Alex on the 13th hole, I think it was?
No, I don't think I saw the flop shot.
Unbelievably good golf shot to rescue par. And if he hadn't have delivered that shot, that little stretch, they would have gone double bogey, bogey, bogey from 12 through 14. So I think Alex Fitzpatrick was the hero down the stretch. Matt lost his swing and then came good at the last hole. And we're going to see Alex Fitzpatrick on the PGA Tour. He's got his first tournament as a PGA Tour member this week in the Cadillac Championship. Matt's having a well-deserved week off.
Can we talk about the belts that they were given? Did you see them afterwards?
Yeah.
I'm all for wonderful clubhouses, wonderful trophies. If we're going to start, you know, forget jackets. Look at them belts were a thing of beauty.
Yeah, I think...
I thought they were the new tag team champions at one point.
Legion of Doom, Bushwhackers.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm showing my age there. Used to watch a bit of wrestling as a kid. But Matt Fitzpatrick mentioned that he said something about WWF or WWE, whatever it's called in the media conference. But yeah, nice touch. You know, no jacket this time, but some nice belts. Bernd Wiesberger got a nice jacket. Did you see that one? I know you like your jacket.
Yeah, I can't. It's a green jacket or no jacket.
He got a gold jacket there. He got a gold jacket. Is it raining in the office there, Dave? I could hear some rain coming down. Is it hitting the?
No, we're all good.
Oh, no.
It might be raining where you are.
No, the sun's come. No, all's good. All's good in sunny Weymouth, apart from the football team, which is in a division that I don't even know what division we're in now. We're basically a pub, basically a pub side now. But
Anything else to add from the New Orleans pairings there, or should we move on?
Well, I mean, as you say, Davis Thompson and Austin Eckroat, we can't have any regrets about that. I mean, they bogeyed 14, they bogeyed 15, they bogeyed 17. So, like, with five holes to play, I thought they were going to nick the title, but tied sixth with three other teams. I got a little bit back. I hope some people did. I mean, Matt McCarthy and Mac Meisner tied 10th with two other teams. When I'm always banging on about get as many places as you can, I played 12 places on those guys at 16-1. So you have to take a much shorter price to get the extra places. But then I felt really good about that because they delivered a full place return on that. But Michael Thorbjørnsen and Carl Phillips, I mean, my God, slow out the traps, Dave. We were talking a lot about Mark Wallace last week, weren't we? And needing some good trapping. I mean, Thorbjørnsen and Phillips, 67 in Thursday's best ball, just no good, tailed off, fought back to 13th place. Disappointing. Thorbjørnsen, we need to discuss this week. He's not in the field, but we'll come to him. But in terms of the Zurich, I thought the Zurich was fascinating. I mean, Shane Lowry and Brooks Koepka missed the cut. I mean, I'm not sure that pairing, we had doubts about that pairing. I'm not sure it'll see the light of day again.
Just a mishmash, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work out. And then I thought the combination of Michael Brennan and Johnny Kiefer, you know, really highlighted the difference in the two formats, because we had them for first round leader because a great best ball combination. you know, two attacking powerhouses. So they shot 61 in the Thursday best ball, and then obviously massively unsuited to the alternate shot format, and they shot 75 to miss the cut. So yeah, you've got to be good at everything to win that tournament. And yeah, the Fitzpatrick's got a nice blend of skills, haven't they?
Winners there, so drama at the end, but winners, the Fitzpatrick brothers. Right, let's move on then, shall we? Let's look ahead. Before we do, the Cadillac Championship is where you can get your winnings boosted with our friends at SBK. 20% winnings boost on the Turkish Airlines and the Cadillac Championship. So they're doing both events. So if you can find the winner, 20% boosted on both events. Usually just the one. So marvellous that they're doing both events. So Turkish Airlines Open and the Cadillac Championship. We will start with the Turkish Open then, Steve. My limited homework on this one tells me that we're all about precision here. How narrow are these fairways?
Yeah, the Turkish Airlines Open. This is a new course, and you're absolutely right. It's National Golf Club Belek Antalya, Turkey. 7,287 yards, par 72, four par fives. There was a Challenge Tour event here in 2014, Dave, the Turkish Airlines Challenge. Two under par was the winning total that week. There was only one player finished under par. We've got tree-lined fairways. Water is in play on half of the holes. Small, firm, well-guarded greens. So, yeah, precision golf is required. Sunny, pleasant, calm weather for the most part. Small threat of lightning on Friday and Saturday. 156 players going to post. The action starts just before 5 a.m. UK time on Thursday morning.
OK, 5 a.m. Thursday. Right, ninth edition of the Turkish Open. Winners in recent years, Kuvra, Hatton, Rose and Olesen. Let's give you a show then. David Puig is the market leader. Angel Ayora, Daniel Hillier, Jaden Shaper, Tom McKibben. They're all up there. Decent, strong field. It's around about 10, 11 to 1, the field. How many players are you putting up, Steve? Okay, and how many are you putting up in the Cadillac Championship?
Three.
Three, okay. So 12 each way doubles if you want to play and follow along. And of course, reminder, there is a 20% winnings boost with SBK, which is always nice. So 20% on top if you can find the winner. Hopefully, Steve will do that for us now with
Francesco Molinari, who looks highly competitive again. I think the twilight of Molinari's career is going to be successful. He's been back living in Italy for a few years now, fully focused on the DP World Tour again, back working with Dennis Pugh, the coach who worked with him when he was in his prime. They've been getting results together. 10th place in the Nedbank Challenge at the end of last year was a little clue of things to come. 4th place in the Dubai Desert Classic at the end of January, a big event, hugely encouraging. And then 6th spot in the Indian Open last time out. Underline this resurgence we're getting from Molinari. We saw Bernd Wiesberger end a 5-year winning drought last Sunday at the age of 40. Will we be getting a 43-year-old winner this week? Entirely feasible. Molinari has not won since the 2019 Arnold Palmer Invitational. There have been reasons for that. Threw himself into family life, relocated to California. You know, golf was not as important to Molinari than it was previously. He wasn't as devoted. But the kids are getting older. He's back in Europe. He's eager to secure titles as a player before he moves on to potential Ryder Cup captaincy or whatever else. Molinari at his best, Dave, as you well remember, world-class golfer. 2018 Open champion, won the BMW PGA at Wentworth that year as well. Tests of precision are where he flourishes. This week's assignment should fully reward his trademark accuracy. If we can get some putts to drop, expect him to be in the thick of things throughout. I think Luke Donald announcing himself as Ryder Cup captain a few weeks back freed Molinari up as a player. It seemed like he was the next in line if Donald didn't want the job again. So I think that's freed Molinari up to focus as a player. And I like how he's fresher than a lot of the leading contenders in this field, Dave. It's a long journey from China to Turkey. Others have come from even further away. Molinari didn't play last week. I think a 7th DP World Tour title is coming on Sunday. Turin to Turkey is not as far as some of these other guys have had to come.
Wow, okay. Molinari, long way down, as big as 50 to 1. And then, of course, a reminder, you get the winnings boost with SBK, should he do the business. Right, he is the main selection, back from, not quite from the dead, but from, you know, the wilderness, Molinari. Not the player I thought he was going to go for, but I like it. Who's the next best?
Bernd Riesberger! Life begins at 40, Dave. You're not even alive yet, Dave, I don't think, are you? No. I've been alive for 7 years. Bernd Riesberger has just been born, and he started his 40s in the best possible way. The last time he won in China in 2017, played superbly the following week. He finished fourth the following week, lost the tournament by 2 shots. We've seen him deliver these quick bursts of successful form. He won twice on the Challenge Tour in 2010, July, October. He won twice on the DP World Tour in 2012, April and July. He won 3 times in 2019, May, July, October. I think it's entirely feasible he follows DP World Tour victory number 9 with his 10th on Sunday. Rock solid last week, David. Yeah, there was nothing fluky about last week. On only 4 of the 72 holes did he drop a shot. He had 4 bogey fives. He was bogey free in round 1, bogey free in round 4. He was 3rd for greens in regulation. This week's layout looks ideal. Test of accuracy, small greens, taking pressure off his putting. Unless the celebrations got out of hand, I've been trying to find out. I know Bernd does like a drink, but unless the celebrations got out of hand, I think he'd be ready to go again. I mean, he got a long flight from China to Turkey to get your head together. And he's got a good record in this tournament. He was 7th in the 2013 Turkish Airlines Open, 4th in 2016. I was surprised by how generous the prices are there, because, yeah, this is a player of pedigree who's back.
Simple as that. You think he can be a bit streaky, the burger, yeah?
Well, he has been in the past, yeah. A bit of streaky bacon on your burger. So, well, I think we've got to stick with him. Were you not surprised by the opening shows? I think I was expecting more respect after how well he played last week.
You'd say a confidence-boosting win. But, I mean, I would always say to you, how often do players go back-to-back?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the negative, isn't it?
Well, how often does anyone win? You know, it's just winning's hard, isn't it? But I thought at the odds he was well worth sticking with.
Okay. Can't eat value and all that, so let's roll with it. Ooh. The streaky burger, then, is the next best. 2 more to come. Given that Molinari is the main tip, I'm hoping that picks 3 and 4 are going to be big prices.
Yeah,
is that right?
All 4 of these tips are big prices.
Beautiful. Okay, who's the third pick?
Wenyi Ding! Right, keeping the faith in Wenyi Ding. Rising star of the DP World Tour. Strong all-rounder who can handle this week's layout. Last week, as you say, didn't do a lot wrong. Rounds of 68, 71, 70, 69. 25th place, 6 under par. Certainly didn't disgrace himself in his homeland. Maybe he felt some extra pressure last week. I mean, it certainly told on Yanhang Zhao, isn't it? I mean, Zhao and Ding, the two players that the Chinese galleries would have been focusing on. You saw Yanhang Zhao capitulate over the weekend. Ding outscored him comfortably in the end. Ding made his debut in the Turkish Airlines Open 12 months ago, carded 4 under par rounds for 12th place. I think he'll threaten a maiden Deeper World Tour title this week. Yeah, the bookies appear to have given up on Ding in a way. I mean, he's double the odds he was last week. So he's doubled in price. I know the field's stronger, but I think it's an overreaction to what was a pretty steady performance last week. And I think it's only a matter of time before he sheds his maiden tag. So, yeah, we'll stick with Wenyi Ding.
I'm a big fan. There is no Ding Ding double, though, unfortunately, because Xing Tong saw off Ding Zhongwei. But yeah. Wenyi Ding, there we go again. Who is the fourth selection?
Rafa Cabrera-Bello! Like Molinari, like Wiesberger, he's in his 40s. He'll appreciate this week's layout. You know, this is not a layout that could be overpowered. You know, this is a layout for wise old heads. You know, one day, Dave, you'll have a wise old head when you're born. Rafa Cabrera-Bello will appreciate this course, I promise you that. Last week, 4 solid rounds for 25th place, tied with Ding in China. It was really encouraging because his ball striking improved over the weekend. I mentioned last week how concerned I am about backing players who are based in the Middle East. Adrian Ategui, he's from the UAE and finished runner-up last week, so maybe I need to calm down about this. But Rafa Cabrera-Bello has been a Dubai resident for a long time. I don't know whether his practice regime has been affected by what's going on in that part of the world. But I thought it was interesting that he started off quite slowly in China last week, but over the weekend started hitting his ball really well. So I think he'll carry that form into Turkey. Five of his last eight tournaments have yielded a top 25 finish. A bit like Wiesberger, building a steady bank of recent form. He was third in the Irish Open in September. I've certainly seen signs from Rafa that he's getting back to that level that made him a Ryder Cupper. You know, this is a four-time DP World Tour champion. He's played in the Ryder Cup. I think he might do a Wiesberger because his last win came 5 years ago. I think he's an enormous price certainly a value price to get into the thick of things here. Yeah, three-figure prices.
Nice. Okay, this is the, just checking, this is the 2026 Turkish Open on the 2016.
Well, this is it. This is it. Yeah. Rafa's still got plenty of lead in his pencil. And
I'll take your word for that. Yeah,
as Francesco and as Bernd. So we've got three relative veterans of the tour, and one 21-year-old.
A nice blend. Market principles. Then we're swerving them. Talk us through them.
Yeah, David Puig is a short price for me. Yeah, this is not his sort of track. You know, attacking powerhouses can easily come unstuck here. Yeah, we've got very tall trees, not just tree-lined fairways, very tall trees. Reminds me a bit of Wentworth, actually. It's very, not for the claustrophobic. And lots of water. Yeah, water everywhere. So I think David Puig might, stick a card buster on his scorecard there. Angela Jura, remember I was so excited about that pre-tournament rain last week for Angela Jura. Yeah, the course got an absolute soaking before the off. Totally different this week. You know, Turkey, sublime weather in Turkey in the build-up. You know, it's firm and fast. Yeah, every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, blazing sunshine. So, you're going to need a lot more control this week, I feel. So we'll wait for another opportunity to angle a Euro.
Anything else to add, Steve?
Well, there was the two I came closest to.
We liked some other ones that were close to being on the list.
Yeah. This was a tough tournament to get the shortlist down. And that there are two more. Jaden Schaper, our old friend Jaden Schaper. I mean, it's just inactivity which puts me off him. I mean, course, he should really like this course, but he hasn't competed since the Joburg Open on March 8th.
Where's he been?
Well, rest in body and mind. I was surprised he didn't enter the...
He's a golfer. I just play golf.
Yeah. No. I can see the idea because he had a very hectic schedule and he wanted a little break before the summer. I get that, but I was surprised he didn't enter the Indian Open because he did have a chance of getting in the Masters if he was successful in the Indian Open. But he decided just to have a period of rest. And yeah, we saw last week with Daniel Hillier, who came back after a big long break. He can come back rusty. So I think Schaper probably got some rust in his system, and it's not like there's any enormous prices being dangled to tempt you in. So
no.
I decided to ditch Jaden Schaper from the shortlist, and the other one was Martin Kuvre, the defending champion. We were on him last year.
Yeah, of course.
Do you remember last year we were on him? He had that amazing final round. It was one of the highlights of the year. He's a hero for us, and he always will be. But four rounds in the Zurich Classic last week. Did you notice he was playing in the Zurich Classic last week, Dave, with Mathieu Pavon? An all-French alliance. They played okay, but that is an epic journey from New Orleans.
They didn't threaten the leaderboard, though, did they?
No, they were just off the first page. But they, four rounds and then an epic journey from New Orleans to Antalya. So I just think he's might turn up a little bit sluggish. I mean, it was only that long journey that put me off. The fellow that served up my roast in the pub on Sunday looked identical to Martin Kuvre. And
I did tell him that and he had absolutely no idea who you were talking about.
He didn't and there was a girl and him sort of serving up the roast dinner and that, and he assumed that he must get some really nasty customers. He assumed I was taking the mick and being horrible. So then I got my phone out and showed him a picture to show that I'm not being horrible. He's a very handsome chap. And he was really pleased after that. He really perked up.
Anything to get the extra trimmings, right?
Then I said, can I have 10 roast potatoes, please? Yeah. So he looked like Martin Kuvre, and good luck to him. He's Martin Kuvre's a dashing fella, isn't he?
He is. Right, let's move on then. Let's move on to the Cadillac Championship. The Blue Monster. This is, I always sort of think WGC Tiger Woods here, but yeah. The Blue Monster, water everywhere. I think I'd need about 1,000 balls to play on this course. Steve, it looks a tricky one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, back in the day, it was known as the Blue Monster when it was difficult, but it became too easy, which we'll get to, which is why they had a redesign. So, yeah, the Blue Monster, Trump National Doral, Miami, Florida, 7,739 yards, par 72, four par fives. So you're right, from 2007 through 2016, it was the WGC Cadillac Championship venue. Then Jill Hance came in before the 2014 WGC to toughen it up, basically. In Tiger Woods in 2013 shot 19 under par. So 19 under par in 2013 win in total. 2014 win in total was 4 under par. So
yeah,
Jill Hance certainly did his job. Focus on the course form from 2014 onwards. The course was used for Live Miami, you might remember, 2024-2025, but there's nobody in this field currently that played in either of those events, so it's not even worth looking at the form. If we get loads of withdrawals, then Brooks Koepka get in. Brooks Koepka's on the alternate list, so keep an eye out for that. It's very, very unlikely, with given the prize money here, that he's going to get in. Michael Thorbjørnsen, I promised you a mention of Michael Thorbjørnsen. He's the first alternate, Dave, so I'm finding this really, really awkward.
Oh my God! Can you imagine if he comes in and wins it?
Yeah, I am concerned because obviously I can't tip a player that's not even in the field. And you know, if someone pulls out,
this is
injured,
the week. Oh my God! We're gonna have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, keep an eye on it because yeah, the bookies might take time to price him up even if he does get in. So yeah, I am concerned about Michael Thorbjørnsen because this is a driver's track and he's a phenomenal driver. So. But yeah, we need to get on and get the tips out. I'm happy with my three, but I'd be concerned if the Bjornsson comes in. Sunny and hot weather.
We're looking
coming.
For length, yeah? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. This is a driver's track. Total driving, Dave, is the key stat. Length is of great benefit here. This is a long, brutal track, but waywardness severely punished. You know, it's called the Blue Monster because there's water everywhere. The fairways are really difficult to hit, so you need to be long and you need to be straight. Total driving is the key to success. A field of 72 going to post. Signature event, no cut. Get your bets on by 1:30 p.m. UK time on Thursday.
Okay, shorter field. We like the shorter fields. Right, it is Scotty Scheffler then who heads the market, followed by Cameron Young, Colin Morikawa, Tommy Fleetwood, Chris Goddard, Patrick Cantlay, Sam Burns, Russell Henley, but Scheffler out on his own as the market leader, around about 3-1. There is a little bit bigger than threes. If you shop around, of course, you can get that 20% winnings boost as well with SBK. We're going 4 and 3, if I remember right. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Bet by time?
1:30 p.m. UK Thursday.
And who is the main selection?
Cameron Young, who nearly won the Masters for us earlier this month. 2 shots ahead through 5 holes of the final round, eventually finished 3rd. Augusta underlined the fact that Cameron Young is a fully established member of the golfing elite, made his breakthrough last year, starred on his Ryder Cup debut, won the Players' Championship last month. He's a threat for everything. He's certainly a huge threat on the Blue Monster, which is made for strong driving. Total driving, the key stat. Young, 2nd on the PGA Tour, total driving statistics. Only Matt Fitzpatrick is above him. Matt Fitzpatrick not playing this week. Young, long and straight off the tee. The driving performance he produced on his way to 3rd place in the Arnold Palmer Invitational last month was absolutely magnificent. He produced perhaps the best drive in the history of golf, I'd say, at the 72nd hole of the Players' Championship last month. He won at Sawgrass in the Sunshine State. He lives in the Sunshine State. I expect more glory in his adopted home state this week. After the final 2-ball of the Masters, playing in the final group with Rory McIlroy, entitled to be sluggish in the Heritage the following week. He made a slow start, open with a 71. His middle rounds were really good, 67-67. Then he closed with another 71 for 25th place. He's had a little breather since then. Expect him to get back into contention. I think Bay Hill is key form to look at because great similarities between the two, Bay Hill and Doral. Young's Florida record generally is fantastic. His Bay Hill record is exceptionally good. So I just find it so hard to see him out the frame, Dave. Can you see him out the frame?
How far does he send it off the tee?
Oh, it's a big, beefy beefcake.
You did really well not to swear there, Steve. Well played.
He's got that power draw that just it goes miles. I mean that drive. I hate buckling to recency bias. I haven't sat down to try and think of better drives, but I've got that drive at the 72nd hole at Sawgrass is the greatest drive in the history of golf. It went absolutely miles. You got water all down the left. Yeah, there's no margin for error. The tournament's on the line. I think that was the greatest drive ever. And yeah, he hits it miles, and he hits it very accurate, given how far he hits it.
Okay, right, well, there you go. He's second favourite with a lot of the bookmakers. Who's the next best for you?
Adam Scott. Continuing my theme of 40-somethings who still have plenty to offer. Adam Scott has actually increased his swing speed at the age of 45. We discussed it the other day. He's working the gymnasium, just keeping yourself fit. I mean, I get very downbeat about how unfit I am. But Adam Scott, he's in peak condition, 2 years younger than me and looks and acts about 100 years younger than me. You know, his driving is absolutely magnificent. The distance he gets as a 45-year-old man is phenomenal. And he can approach Doral with much more confidence than most of this field. There's only two course winners in this field, Dave. Adam Scott and Justin Rose. Justin Rose is putting these new clubs into play. We'll discuss him another time. We haven't got the time now, but he's switched club manufacturers in the middle of the season. Very strange move from Justin Rose. I think it's going to be negative for his chances of winning another major, chasing the big bucks. But yeah, I don't want to talk about Justin Rose. Adam Scott is the course winner to focus on. And he won on the redesigned Doral. I mentioned those changes. The form from 2014 onwards is what to concentrate on. Adam Scott won the last of the WGCs at Doral, the 2016 edition of the WGC. He's won three PGA Tour titles in Florida. There's a correlation between Masters champions and Doral champions. So many players have won the Masters and at Doral. Scott is one of those. Yeah, you can sort of understand why. It's 6 years since Scott won a main tour event, but Bernd Wiesberger, the inspiration again. He's definitely playing well enough to end this victory drought. He's 12th on the PGA Tour total driving stats, Dave. 12th, Adam Scott. He was 4th at Riviera at the end of February, 11th at Bay Hill last month, 24th in the Masters last time out. Don't forget how good he was, Dave. Former world number one, 14-time PGA Tour champion. There's life in the old dog yet, Dave. There's life in Bernd Wiesberger. There's life in Francesco Molinari. There's life in Rafa Cabrera Bell. And there's life in Adam Derek Scott.
Golden Listen, I know you don't want to dwell on Justin Rose. Did I see that he's now using McLaren golf clubs? Yeah. Is he the player that signed up to them?
Yeah. McLaren.
They must have chucked in a motor, mustn't they? Surely.
Yeah, McLaren have entered the club space. So yeah, it's the same McLaren that makes the Formula One cars. Yeah, we love Formula One on this show. We've always loved Formula One. And McLaren are now making golf clubs.
Here's a set of golf clubs, but they will not fit in the back of the car, I'm afraid.
I mean, I don't want to get started on it, but why just? Why? I mean, you nearly won the Masters the other day. You've obviously got live chances in all the remaining majors this year. You know, it's just money, isn't it? Like, how much money do you need? I know he's got children. I find it hard to criticise fathers. Like when John Rahm switched, we mentioned John Rahm's got a million kids. I can see, when you're a father, having money is really, really important, isn't it, Dave? Any time I win a bet now, it's just that's the relief of being able to provide better for my children. Provide cheeseburgers for my children. And, Justin Rose has got loads of kids. He wants more money, but he's already got loads of money. And, when he's on his deathbed, is he going to think this was a good move? We shall see.
Well, I'm pretty confident he won't care too much for it when he's on his deathbed. Should I have switched to McLaren back in 2026? Anyway, I shouldn't have gone there, should I? But I did. I can only apologise. I'm sorry. We've got one more player, haven't we, to put up then? Yeah. Who are we going for?
Kurt Kitayama! Bay Hill, as mentioned, the best guide for Doral, other than Doral itself from 2014 onwards. Kurt Kitayama won a signature event at Bay Hill in 2023, fended off Rory McIlroy and others for a maiden PGA Tour title. It was a heroic effort. His second PGA Tour title came last summer. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him complete a PGA Tour hat-trick this week. I know it's a classy feel, but Kurt Kitayama is a world-class ball striker. He finished second at Riviera in February, 18th at Bay Hill. He made 14 birdies at the Masters, and then he was 8th in the Heritage last time out. He's 16th on the tour for total driving. He's 11th for strokes gained on approach. So that tee to green quality makes Kitayama a factor this week for me. Driving and approach play much more important than anything else this week.
Have you been keeping an eye on him in recent weeks?
I always keep an eye on Kurt.
Been along nicely, hasn't he?
Yeah, I always keep an eye on Kurt Kitayama. We had him for first round leader in the Masters, and he made 8 birdies in the first round and had some card busters that cost him the outright win there. He placed for us in that market. But yeah, Kurt Kitayama is an underrated player. Yeah, if he can sharpen up his short game, you know, he's got huge potential to win elite events. But I'm happy with my three, because what you must remember, Dave, and we'll come to all the others now, this is probably the weakest signature event we've ever had.
Yeah, I saw Scheffler, and then I was going through the names, just thinking, well, where are they all?
Yeah. It's quite interesting. I mean, I hate getting involved in golf in politics, because as I've said, yeah, we've got to focus on what we can control, and it doesn't help the punter to get bogged down and all that. But you know, obviously, when Rory McIlroy and the big cheeses on the PGA Tour came up with this idea of signature events, it was, you know, everyone should be attending. But you know, Rory's skipped a few, and he's skipping this week, and others have followed the lead, it seems, because you've got no Xander Schauffele playing this week, you got no Ludwig Aubert playing this week, you got no Matt Fitzpatrick. I mean, we can let Matt Fitzpatrick off. Obviously, he entered the Zurich Classic instead, and he deserves a pat on the back.
We have got a Scotty Scheffler, though. What do you make of him?
Yeah, we've got a Scotty Scheffler, and we've got a Scotty Scheffler that's got every chance of taking advantage of those absentees. Scheffler has won 4 PGA Tour events in Florida. He's a 2-time Bay Hill winner, which I think is really eye-catching form. He's 4th in the PGA Tour total driving stats this season. But he's just not at the level of previous seasons, is he, Dave? I mean,
he's not playing the golf that warrants his price at the minute. He's the player that warrants the price.
Yeah.
He's not at the current level of form.
No, he's not at the level of previous seasons. He was the only other player I considered for this. I love my three, but again, like I said before, the Heritage, yeah, I cannot say that Scheffler's a bad bet. He's a perfectly fair price, I'd say, but I just prefer my three at the prices. Yeah, Scheffler, I don't want to put you off, and he could win, but I prefer my three at the odds.
Was there anyone who was close to the list, or was it just Scheffler and that was it?
I flirted with Jake Knapp, but okay. I haven't got my wedding ring on.
I hope they just clip that at the shop. That'd be for socials.
I must make clear I haven't got my wedding ring on today. No dramas. I had my first attempt at playing golf for over a year on Sunday with Tommy Tiger, and it was an absolute disaster. I took the ring off because, you know, I got really bad arthritis in my hands. And I haven't put it back on yet. It's still in the golf bag. And yeah, Tommy Tiger was 3 up through 3 holes. You know, 6-year-old playing off, you know, no handicap. He was 3 up through 3, and he beat me comfortably in the end, which shows where I'm at. I just can't grip the club. It was pretty heartbreaking. I've been flirting with Jake Knapp. Took my wedding ring off to flirt with Jake Knapp. But he just hasn't convinced me. I mean, yeah, Colin Morikawa is the one I want to talk about, just because I can't believe there's money for him. Like, he's getting backed. Like, Cameron Young's had some money, which is shrewd money in my eyes, and you know, keep putting more on, because Cameron Young should be single figures for this without question. Colin Morikawa's getting money, but he's not fully fit. We discussed him the other day. Yeah, this is a severe test. Yeah, it's all very well tickling it around Harbour Town links, but yeah, he's coming to a big boys course this week, and he hasn't been fully fit. Yeah, I think Colin Morikawa is unappealing, whereas Scheffler and Cameron Young should be hugely respected.
Okay, 4 and a 3 then, 12 each way doubles if you'd like to play and follow in, Steve, one of the winning boost with SBK. Outside of the golf, darts and snooker, what's been going on, Steve? How you been getting on?
Oh, wow, yeah, Zhao Ching Chong. I mean, he's in the quarterfinals. Judd Trump's out. Ronnie O'Sullivan's out. I think Zhao's only got Neil Robertson to beat. I think Zhao I think Neil Robertson is the only man who can stop Zhao Qingchong. But yeah, I think Zhao's. I pressed up this morning because I just think Zhao is pretty much unbeatable. I think he should be around even money, and there was some 7-4 available this morning. So yeah, really excited. Darts. Kevin Doetz broke my heart yesterday in the Players' Champ. I was on Kevin Doetz at 33-1. And he lost to Michael Smith in the semi-finals.
They then lost in the final to Bo Green.
Yeah, I'm glad you watched it. Yeah. Bo got a win. So yeah, emotional scenes. Bo Greaves is a female Players Championship winner. So yeah, the darts has been very interesting. We've got another interesting week of Premier League darts this week. I really need Luke Littler. Can I beg people go into the darts on Thursday night not to boo Luke Littler, because I'm it's in Scotland this week. Littler's been getting booed. He'll probably continue in Scotland, but I'm on Josh Rock to finish bottom of the Premier League, as you well know. When the prices first come out, I hoovered up some 20-1, and you know, we're getting to the end of the season now, and if Josh Rock can stay bottom of the league, that'll really help me out. And he's playing Luke Littler in the first match on Thursday. So yeah, an exciting week of sports betting, Dave. I love sports betting. You know, don't feel any shame for sports betting, guys. You know, yeah, we're betting getting a bad press, and there's always people out there trying to dig people who have a sports bet, and it winds me up no end because it's so entertaining, and yeah, and take your mind off a world that's so troubled. I mean, you know, what do they want us to do? Sit and watch the news all day and just get so depressed by what's happening in the news? You know, every time I switch the TV on, it's just really demoralising news, isn't it, Dave? And it's been like that for so long. I switch the telly on and I watch sport that I've got a bet on, and it's so much better for my mental health than watching the news, Dave. Sorry, I don't know where this rant's coming from, but...
I'm with you 100%, in moderation, within your means.
Yes.
I'm 100% there, 100% with you.
Absolutely, yeah. Don't yield to the pressure to watch the news. That's my message for the viewers.
Okay, your mob have gone down. What of my mob? What's Steve Palmer's take on the relegation battle?
Just getting upbeat there, David. You reminded me we're in the pub league. We're actually playing Portland United next season. It's honestly, I can't tell you...
Give it a few seasons, you could be playing either West Ham or Tottenham. So who's it going to be that goes
down? I think Tottenham are staying up, Dave. I'm so sorry. I think Tottenham are really quite fortunate that they're playing Aston Villa in between those Europa League semi-finals. And the Aston Villa in the Europa League semi-finals against Nottingham Forest, it's going to be a right ding-dong affair, that. And then it's a two-legged one, and Tottenham are playing. I think Tottenham can get something from the Villa match. And then, obviously, they've got Chelsea. Have West Ham got Chelsea as well, I think, haven't they? I know
Tottenham got Brentford, Chelsea. Brentford away. Arsenal at home.
Oh, it's Arsenal.
Newcastle away. Everton at home.
Oh, that's it. Well, yeah, again, Tottenham have got lucky because they're playing Chelsea at a fantastic time. Chelsea in a bit of disarray, and normally Tottenham lose to Chelsea. I think they can get something from that game as well. So, yeah, I think West Ham in a bit of trouble, Dave. If I was a betting man, I would back Spurs to stay up.
Well, yeah, I think you can get odds against about West Ham going down, so yeah, that might be the play for you, my man.
Yeah. But I feel for you, Dave. It's not nice relegation. You know, honestly,
I feel like even if we escape, we're just going to be back in it again next season as well. But you know.
Yeah. Wait, what's your last game of the season? Is it home?
Everton at home.
At least it's at home. I mean, it's the
no, not Everton at home. Leeds at home.
Leeds at home. Well, it's nice to be at home for the last game.
Well, Leeds will be on the beach by then, I'm hoping. So
yeah, and that journey back from Berkhamsted on Saturday night. You probably know where that is, in Hertfordshire. It's past London. Like, to get from Weymouth to Berkhamsted, we had this massive journey, and I'm sprinting through a park, like people enjoying themselves in the park. It was a really hot, sunny day. We had to park a long way from the ground to get there, and we're jogging. I'm so unfit, as I say, and like, I turned up at 5 to 3, 5 minutes before kickoff. Wow. And all these people are like laughing at these morons, you know, sprinting to get there. Berkhamsted's a lovely place, Dave. It's really nice, and the people there were really welcoming. I would have liked there and not liked to have gone there and not watched a football match, we lost 2-0, and that was that. But let's stay upbeat.
Keep your pecker up. Remind us of your selections this week, then, Steve. You're in fantastic form. Let's strike while the iron is hot and going again. Let's bag the double this week. So who are we going for? Well, let's start with the Turkish Open.
Francesco Molinari, Bernd Wiesberger, Wenyi Ding, and Rafa Cabrera Bay.
Okay, some of the golden oldies there. And the Cadillac, who are we going for?
Many a fine tune played on an old fiddle, Dave. The Cadillac, Cameron Young, Adam Scott, Kurt Kitayama.
That's good. We're happy. 4 and a 3. 12. 12 each way doubles. People don't like me asking you this, but what's your strongest selection this week? You're just going to have one bet. Just because you're in great form, what is the strongest play from you?
I'd be staggered if Cameron Young is not contending for this title. I think an each way bet on Cameron Young is watertight, if you pardon the pun, on the blue monster. that would be the strongest fancy. But I really like all of them. Yeah, I feel like I'm in good nick, and I feel like we're going to have a really successful year.
Bring it on. Bring it on indeed. Do remember to get involved with us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Drop your comments below. Someone tell me that West Ham are going to stay up at least. We'd like to hear your golf views as well if you're following Steve in again this week. Hopefully you are. Gamble responsibly. Enjoy the golf, and we'll see you next week.